So let's open up the scriptures. We are going to start with a Mark 10:18. That's the first verse I'm going to go to. Mark 10:18. But I just want to like remind us where we've been, and I want to just help us continue to press further in. We will also be in Deuteronomy, your favorite book of the Bible. We took a poll of our church. We did not. That was a lie. And Deuteronomy was your favorite book of the Bible. I just made that up. We're going to start in Mark. We're going to see Jesus, and then we're going to connect that to the work of God in the Old Testament because we're continuing our Summer Sabbath series. Summer Sabbath. And I just want to remind us why. The reason God commands his people to rest is because he wants us to know something in our soul that we will forget if we're not careful. He wants us to know that there is a provision, God has provision for you that you cannot supply yourself. Period. God has a provision for you you are unable to supply for yourself. He has a security, a mercy, a grace, a rest, a love, an identity that is from him and him alone. And when we follow Jesus and we practice Sabbath, he draws us into a life that is anchored in rest and security that the world cannot provide, that you in your own strength cannot supply. When we practice Sabbath, we anchor our lives in the goodness of God. And not to be a downer, but I do think Sabbath is probably one of the most violated commandments of the top 10 that were given in the Old Testament. People who love the Bible and love the Lord and are like, we're going to obey God, disobey the Sabbath. Everyone's like, uh-oh. I didn't come here to be judged. That's not me. If you feel anything right now, it's the conviction of the Spirit saying, come to me. If you feel anything right now that feels like judgment, it is not judgment. It is the Spirit of the living God saying, come. Are you tired? Come. Are you weary? Come to me, because Sabbath is about communion and connection with God, and it's all about his goodness. And we're going to see that today as we open up the scriptures. And so as we come to the scriptures, I just wanted to ask, where are you coming from? What's happening in your soul these days? Are you showing up charged up, energized, feeling good about life? Are you weary? Are you discouraged? Are you afraid? Are you angry? How are you doing? What's true and honest about the soil of your soul? Are you open and receptive to God? Does it feel distant? Just where are you at? I was thinking about today's talk, and I found myself aware that I'm going to talk about goodness. But as I started like working on my notes, the first things I wrote were like chaos, destruction, death, because I just feel like we're surrounded by it right now. Just surrounded by things that are not good. And as I've followed Jesus, one of the things I've just regularly heard is like, if God is good, then why is there so much? I'll help you out. Bad. But if God is good, then where is the goodness? If God is good, then why pain? If God is good, then why sorrow? If God is good, then why death? Have you ever wrestled with those questions? Y'all are really talkative today. It's interesting. What I know to be true is one negative thing weighs more than one positive thing. One negative thing in your life is heavier to carry than one positive thing. In some of my higher education, I came across some studies done out of the psychological fields, and they were talking about relationships. And for relationships to be kind of dynamic and healthy, they found this interesting thing, especially for couples. What they found is for couples to be kind of trending in a positive direction, they needed at least 5 positive interactions to every 1 negative. And that ratio kind of puts you at neutral. Like, you're not even like really charging ahead. You're just like not feeling destroyed. 5 positive to every 1 negative. Think about this. How many positive headlines do you read every day? It's not 5 to 1. Something in the human spirit looks for the negative, kind of finds the negative, carries the negative, and when we carry the distress of life, it is heavier than the delight. Therefore, God in his wisdom says, every week I want you to come to me and delight in me. I need to work to keep your ratios stacked. Professor and author Arthur Brooks has this quote around happiness. He says, you don't need to have everything you want. You need to learn to want what you have. You need to learn to want what you have, to take inventory and stock of what is real in your life and orient your heart in a meaningful way of gratitude towards it. I go back to the garden. This whole story of the scriptures starts and the Creator God creates and it's good. And the Creator God creates and it's good. And the Creator God creates and it's good. And then it gets to a moment, and the Creator God creates, says it's very good, and then rests. The Creator God took an inventory of what was, and his heart was soft and loving and kind towards what he created. And it was good, and it was good, and it was very good. And to be formed into the likeness of Christ means we need to learn how to live the same way. To look at today and go, where is there good? Where is there good? Where is there good? And when we learn to live this way, we'll be living in alignment with the kingdom and the king. And we'll be looking at the way of Jesus and we'll see it show up in this way like we see in Mark chapter 10. Mark 10, there's an interaction. Jesus is teaching. And it says this in verse 17, as Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus, in his infinite wisdom and curiosity, asked a question back. Why do you call me good? Jesus answered, no one is good except God alone. As we think about the good in our life and we look to Jesus, Jesus does something very shocking. He says, one source for goodness, God alone. One source for goodness, God alone. Matthew captures it a little bit differently. In Matthew 19, similar teaching, similar moment. This is how it's captured. Verse 17. Why do you ask me about what is good? Jesus replied, there is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, keep the commandments. Jesus is saying this. Staying connected and dependent on God is the only way to encounter the good life. It cannot be as good as you want it to be or as good as God intended it to be if you do it on your own. And so the Sabbath call, the rhythm of Sabbath, is to weekly reconnect our lives to the goodness of God, reconnect our story to God's story at work in us and through us, to recalibrate after a week of work, after a week of despair, after a week of discouragement, after a week of all the things that come at us, to just stop and turn to God yet again and say, "You alone are good. Where have you been this week?" And to count it all, and to see it all, and to behold God alive in your life, to behold God at work in your life, and to remember that eternal life and life in the kingdom is only possible when you depend intimately in a relationship with God. This is why we Sabbath. This is why we look to God and say, "Show me your way." And he says, "Obey my commands." And you go, "Ah, I was just kidding." Isn't that what the human heart does? Well, let's just check it out. Here's what I need. I need some help. We're going to look to the Old Testament, but I want to just paint the picture super flat for you today. I need four people who love to be on stage and can spell. Everybody was like, "Oh, just kidding. Should have led with that one, Kurt." Seriously, I need help. Four people. You don't have to use a mic. You don't have to talk. You just have to be willing to hold a sign and not pass out. Yeah, come on. Look at these guys. I got three. Yeah, y'all are good right here. Actually, come up. Come on all the way. Oh, we got four. Okay, I got four. Yes, look at this. What's up? Hey, can I tell you what? Come on now. Mr. Palacios, make your way on up. All right. I'm going to have them hold their signs, and they're going to turn them around, and you're going to say the word that they're holding. Okay? Y'all flip them around. Uh-oh. That's not a word. Okay, y'all look at what letter you have. See if you can figure out what word you're supposed to spell. Here we go. We're doing it. This way. Come down this way, Mr. Palacios. Come this way, Roberto. There you go. All right. Now, what does that say?
Good.
Okay. Now watch this. Take one step back for me. What does this say? Okay. God is all the time. God is good. All right? Now do this for me. Y'all are like, "Kurt, come on now. We need better illustrations." This is the one thing you're going to remember. We've preached the scriptures. We've sung beautifully in multiple languages. And y'all are going to be thinking about this on Wednesday morning. Okay? Now here's what I want y'all to do. I want you to spell good without God. Oh, you can't. You can't do it. But we try to. We try to live a good life and find the good in the world without God, and all we can do is go, "Oh." Am I wrong? Jesus Christ said there is only one who is good. In the creation of all that is beautiful and majestic, the heavens that are higher than what you can see or know, in the expanse of stars, a good God spoke a word. And goodness became possible. And beauty became possible. and majesty became possible. But we, very quickly in the story, thought, I don't know, maybe I'll go explore the good life apart from God. And we've been looking for it ever since. You cannot get the eternal goodness you were made for without the living God as the full source of everything you're looking for. This is what Sabbath is about. God is calling us to himself. Amen? Y'all are awesome. Y'all did it. I'm going to be real honest. I've been coming to the Vineyard for a long time, and y'all can use the stairs. You can hop down. I don't know if my knees would take it. I'll be real honest. When I was making this morning, I was like, that looks like a donut. It was an O. What we see in the Old Testament story of God pursuing humanity is how prone we are to forget. And what I want you to think about is there is a real practice you can engage every single day. And as you grow in this rhythm of Sabbath living, where maybe you begin to set aside an hour a week, and then you set aside a morning a week, and then you set aside a half day a week, and then you set aside a full day a week, and you give God one of the seven. Every one of those Sabbath days should include the practice of giving thanks for the good that is present in your life. And every time you notice something good, you're connecting that with a living God who is the source of all that is good. We need to steward greater gratitude in our souls. Because in a consumeristic world and in an economically oriented culture that we all happen to live in, gratitude is not the leading edge of life. Consumption is. So we eat and we're filled and it goes through us and we're looking for the next thing and we're looking for the next thing and we're looking for the next thing. And then we get more and we need more and we get more and we need more. And then we have a guy named Arthur Brooks, who's a professor at Harvard and an author on happiness. And he gives us this quote and he's like, look, the happiness you look for is not in getting everything you want. God, you created this beautiful garden. God says you can have it all. Just hold off on one tree. It'll kill you. And they go, I want the tree. Because we believe a lie. Gratitude is a practice with God that resists our propensity to believe lies and operate in honesty and operate in reality for what God is actually doing in our life. But don't just take my word for it. Deuteronomy 8. I'll start in verse 10. It's going to pick it up right here at verse 11, but I just want you to hear. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord. Gratitude and worship to God. And then it says this, be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, when your herds and flocks grow large, just translate that, wherever your life is growing large, that's your herds and your flocks. When your silver and gold increase and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God. Then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt. Out of the land of slavery, He led you through the vast and dreadful wilderness, that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the wilderness, something your ancestors had never known, to humble and test you so that in the end it might go well with you. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors as it is today. Listen, I'm not going to put this on you. I'm just going to own the reality of my own life. I was raised in Texas. Born in Texas, have lived in Texas my whole life. I have ventured the Houston Metroplex, the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex, San Antonio, and back to where it is home and all good, the best of all three. I love being here. But I was raised in an economically driven environment that was about responsibility and producing and educating and getting a job and getting wealth and getting stuff. I have been discipled and formed by the air I breathe. And it has always been that way. It has always been that way. Even so, that in a land where the people of God were held in captivity so that an empire could be built, and then they're set free, and the Lord leads them out, he says, don't forget. Don't forget. Don't forget the source of who's your goodness. Don't forget the source of your ability to produce wealth and stuff and a good land so it goes well with you. It is not you. It is not you. And if you begin to believe it is you, that is idolatry and it is pride, and you are in a difficult place. Sabbath tells us to take the idol of work and bury it at the feet of Jesus. Because Sabbath says, come and rest and understand that my identity is I'm a child of God. That he can produce things for me that I can't produce in myself. He's the creator. I'm made in his image. And he's doing good things in me. And I participate in the coming of his kingdom. I participate in his goodness filling the earth so that everything I do, when I'm eating and I'm satisfied, praise the Lord. When I feel like the only thing I can give thanks for is the breath in my lungs, I say, praise the Lord. The Lord. Sabbath is a resistance to a pride-filled way of living that separates us from God. Sabbath restores me to the garden where I know all good things are from God and no other source exists that will satisfy my soul. What God intended at creation, he is working to redeem over and over and over and over until he comes in fullness again. And what's beautiful, though, is he's saying, come live in my kingdom now. Come join my ways and my commands now so it will go well with you. Because he led them through the wilderness, he'll lead us through the wilderness. He gave them manna to eat. He will meet our needs. When we practice gratitude, it is intentional remembrance. It's remembering that God is doing work on our behalf. It's remembering what God did in Jesus Christ, crucified, buried, and raised to new life. Gratitude is the art and the practice and the spiritual discipline to give thanks to God, to look for God, to behold God in all of our lives. It is probably the best thing we could do in a world gone mad. That's where we can all say, amen. There we go. Exercise those vocals, baby. Come on. Remembrance is intentional gratitude. Forgetfulness is developing pride. That's what the scriptures say. He says, don't forget, or your pride will grow. Don't forget, or you'll become prideful and think it was your power and your wealth and your strength. All of it's going to go. All of it can be taken away in a moment, in a season, in a thing. Don't forget. Active remembrance is intentional gratitude. Gratitude is simply naming the good. Can you do that? Like right now. Let's just try. Let's try. Think about one good thing in your life. Has that good thing that just came to your mind always been closely connected to God when you think about that good thing? I can think about good things and leave God way over here. Gratitude to the living God is a way of attaching all the good in my life to the God who's the source of all good. It is an attachment, a bond of joy and life and love and goodness that grows in me to strengthen my soul. Gratitude grounds us in humility. I mean, you know how horrible it'd be if I just like walked around this place like, oh, the Vineyard's great because Kurt, look at all I did. Look at what I did. I'm the best. Y'all should love me more because I'm so full of pride. I've produced this place. I built this place. Blah, 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 blah. Vomit. Look at what the Lord has done. Look at what the Lord has done. And may I repent every time I've believed it was about me and my goodness. Here's what I mean. If we keep reading in Deuteronomy, our favorite book of the Bible, just notice this, and then we're going to pray. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord? To fear the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to observe the Lord's commands and decrees that I'm giving you today for your own good. Your good will be because you're depending on God, because we cannot have good without the signs tell the story. To the Lord your God belong the heavens, even the highest heavens, the earth and everything in it. It's all his. Yet the Lord set his affection on your ancestors and loved them, and he chose you, their descendants, above all the nations as it is today. Fear the Lord your God and serve him. Hold fast to him and take your oaths in his name. He is the one you praise. He is your God who performed for you those great and awesome wonders you saw with your own eyes. The Lord has done great things. The Lord has done great things. That is to be the worship and the praise and the gratitude of our life. The Lord has done great things for me. The Lord met me when I was in despair and delivered me. The Lord met me when I had resources and then they were multiplied. The Lord was with me in the wilderness so that the venomous snakes couldn't get me. Why did they put that in the story? Do you ever read the Bible and go, how did the venomous snakes make it in? The Lord has done great things. Look at what the Lord has done. That's what gratitude is. Gratitude is an intentional choice to take our eyes off everything else and look at the Lord. And say, show me what you've done. Show me what you've done. And in honesty, I look at all the other stuff and I go, God, that's not you. Do something about that for me. I want to turn sorrow into joy, but I can't, but you can. So gratitude, as I want to just encourage us, is the practice of humility. The good things that I do have in my life are not self-created. They are a revelation of God's presence in life, available and tangible. It's humility. And it's also honesty. It's telling an honest story about our lives. And I want to tell you how practical this works for me. This past week was my wife and I's anniversary week for our wedding. 19 years, super fun. And it was about a month ago, I'm driving on a highway in Houston, Texas. Anybody ever driven on a highway before? It's fun. It's a great place to pray. I was doing such. And I was just talking to the Lord about my life. And God brought something to remembrance for me. And I just want to tell you, I think this is how our spiritual life with God can work. This is one of the ways it works for me. Maybe this will make sense to you. I remembered a good thing from years ago. And what I remembered was finding a deal on a hotel so that Lauren and I could celebrate our anniversary a few years ago. Anybody ever found a good deal on a hotel? That one's a better, yeah, you're like, that's better than driving on a highway, Kurt. Come on. I remembered finding a good deal for a hotel that we were going to go celebrate our anniversary at. And I had always thought, man, Kurt, you did such good research. Man, you looked at all the sites, and you kept looking, and you kept looking, and then you found the best deal out there. And that's how I told the story. And you know what that story misses out on? God's delight and our desire to celebrate. God's provision to get us a better deal than we had means to afford. God's active work in our life for details that matter to Him as much as they may matter to us or more. And on a highway in Houston, Texas, I had to repent and say, God, that was not me, that was You. You were good to me. You were good to us. And I have missed on that for years. And then you know what He did right after that? Another memory about an automobile. And now as I'm telling the story, I'm like, here comes another memory about somebody else that was kind to us around an automobile. We have like more than one good story about a car becoming a reality for our family because people were generous to us. Because God is all the time. And all the time, God is. And we cannot have good without. So we must become a people committed to gratitude. Or the world will steal it. And you will eat and not be satisfied. And you will have and it will not be enough. Because the only thing that is intended to satisfy our souls is the Creator God. So that when we have stuff, it all goes back to Him. Because He is the treasure. It is Him and Him alone that is deserving of our praise and our worship. And all that is in me is worth all that He has for me. And He's saying, come to me. Come weekly. Come minute by minute. Come hourly, because I want to give you the goodness that was always intended to be yours from day one of creation for all of eternity. This is why we follow Jesus. Let's stand. We're going to practice. You might be here and have really, I don't know, not much faith in God. And I want you to know we're so glad you're here. Your faith might be real small because when you look at the world, you don't have much reason to believe in God. And that's okay. But today I would ask you, what if God believes in you? What if it's more about who God is than it is about you? So I'm going to just hold space for a minute or two, and I'm going to ask God to just speak. And for you, that might be a memory, it might be a thought, a word, a picture, it might be utter silence, and that's okay too. God, I just pray right now by Your Spirit You would come. And I just believe You've already been whispering invitations to us this whole time. And now we're at the point of the service where we get to follow in the way of Jesus, which is to turn to believe. And so would you do something in us today about gratitude, where we begin to connect good things in our life to you? Just for people in the room right now, I pray you would give them that gift like you gave me on 45. God, we just pray where we have believed there is a good life apart from you. I just think some of us today really do get the invitation to repent. We just go, I have believed a lie, and I'm going to turn back to you today. And so, God, I pray that there would be an outpouring of your love in this place, that your voice would get really clear about how you're choosing people, how you've always chosen them, how you long to walk with us in relationships. So we just pray, come Holy Spirit, pour out your love in this place. Give us eyes to see where your goodness has been chasing after us. And I just pray for the room, we would be drawn into more connection in the coming days, more thanksgiving in the coming days, more gratitude as an anchor of our soul, because we cannot and will not live disconnected from you. We need you, God. Let your kingdom come today. Demonstrate your goodness. Demonstrate your goodness in our day and our time, oh God. May we grow in humility and in honesty in your presence, giving you the good, giving you the glory, giving you the worship, remembering you day in and day out, week in and week out.